This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. It is National High Blood Pressure Education Month, and we're going to talk today about a new study that suggests reducing sodium in any amount can lower blood pressure in the long term. We always talk about moderation. Well, this is one example of that. We're going to give you some tips on healthy living and watching your salt intake today on the program. We're joined by Kim Hart, a nurse coordinator in the heart failure clinic at Geisinger Wyoming Valley Medical Center. Kim is a certified heart failure nurse and works with heart failure patients to improve their health through monitoring chronic conditions and working on informed, healthy lifestyle decisions. Trish Slusser is also with us. She is a certified registered nurse practitioner in cardiology at Geisinger Wyoming Valley. She specializes in caring for these heart failure patients, and her care involves medical management and extensive education. So with that in mind, we join them today on the program to talk a bit about our blood pressure and what we can do to keep it under control during National High Blood Pressure Education Month. What's the big message you'd like to get out to people that maybe people aren't aware of?
The issue that, you know, the concern that we have with people knowledge of the effects of sodium that it has on the cardiovascular system when they have hypertension, high blood pressure, is that sodium promotes water retention in the bloodstream. So that causes an increase in blood volume, which can stiffen the blood vessels, therefore causing the blood pressure to rise even further despite being on medicine. And that's the issue with salt on the cardiovascular system. That's why we tell patients that you can take your blood pressure medicine, but salt is very important to restrict.
So it's more of an exacerbating what's there. I mean, if you don't have high blood pressure at all, is it as much of or any concern?
So if you don't have any cardiovascular risk factors, so no, you know, family history of hypertension, no coronary artery disease, you know, your body may be able to tolerate salt better than someone who already has the risk factors of hypertension and coronary artery disease.
I tend to think of blood pressure and heart as separate issues. In other words, if you have heart, I could say I have, you know, a family history of heart disease. That doesn't necessarily mean I have high blood pressure. Is that, are they mutually exclusive, or do we need to look at them as a full picture?
They're exclusive. So someone who has hypertension, which is just high blood pressure, they may not have coronary artery disease. Hypertension is cardiovascular disease, which is a disease of the blood vessels of the heart. It's not the same as coronary artery disease. It does put them at risk to develop coronary artery disease, which is plaques in the arteries of the heart.
But it also puts them at risk for other, like not just coronary artery disease, but cerebrovascular disease, peripheral vascular disease, kidney disease, blindness. I mean, unfortunately, people walk around with high blood pressure and they don't even know that they have high blood pressure. And that's why sometimes it's referred to as the silent killer, because it is causing damage when people don't even know that they have it.
And now recently the numbers were changed. I know I used to say I'm right on the edge, but I'm good. And now they say, well, I'm over the edge. I mean, how crucial is that number to stick by? Because when they do my blood pressure at the doctor, nobody seems to be flipping out. So am I okay to be a little over?
The guidelines, the JNC8 guidelines, actually took into account different guidelines per patients with different comorbidities. And those comorbidities are patients who are diabetic, patients who have coronary artery disease. Our number for those patients is different than a person that does not have those risk factors.
So for somebody with no risk factors, I think the new guideline is less than 150 over 80.
For an age, and we use age as a predictor too. So if you're less than 65, the new guideline is actually 140 over 90.
What do people need to do who do have, you know, have a concern about keeping the salt levels down? I mean, this it blows my mind to look at sodium levels on food, especially in restaurants. But how can we possibly adapt with as much salt as out there?
You know, unfortunately, our, you know, population has been dependent on fast food, convenience of the fast food. But reading labels, it's astonishing how much salt is in, you know, a can of soup, one serving has 400 milligrams of sodium. That's astonishing. So, you know, reading labels, I mean, if you look at how much salt an average person takes in, which we looked at it in this study, it was almost 4,000 to 7,000 milligrams a day, an average person. And they didn't even realize they were consuming that much sodium.
So that's what the average person takes in without watching salt. According to the American Heart Association, less than 2,400 milligrams is what's recommended for the average person.
How many people in this country are dealing with high blood pressure of, you know, of any level, whether it be a little over to way too much over?
So, you know, the study actually looked at, you know, it was a very large study. And I think our population of blood pressure is high. I mean, honestly, I think they said that patients, Americans, white Americans. So the way they do studies is they separate it between white Americans, Hispanic, and African Americans, because we all metabolize salt differently. So the study, there was 13,000 people participating in a big study. They said 26% of them, you know, all had hypertension and they didn't even realize it.
Is this more an American thing than other countries? Because I know, I mean, we definitely have a salt issue here.
It's not, because African Americans and Hispanics, they have a rising intake of sodium just because their culture, their food that they eat amongst their culture is higher in salt.
What else can we do besides cutting the salt? I mean, is there anything else that will address the issue of blood pressure and, you know, keep it under control as we grow older?
Yes. The most important thing is to reduce your sodium, but regular exercise. The American Heart Association says to exercise 4 to 5 times a week, 30 to 40 minutes of cardio, brisk walking, stationary biking, and quitting smoking. Weight reduction and limiting alcohol and caffeine. That is the, you know, number one thing. We actually recommend lifestyle modification first before we think about adding medication, because this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's lifestyle is the number one change here we focus on.
And with the lifestyle modification, people, they can avoid medications just with living a healthier lifestyle.
When I was younger, I thought medicines were what we used to fix it, but now I know that those can lead to so much more. So definitely the doing it on your own with your own normal processes is the way to go.
Yeah, and you know, the healthier the lifestyle you lead, then you're going to get a better benefit from the medications that you're on. If you do need medications, and maybe you'd only require a smaller dose of medications rather than a higher dose of medications.
First step, if somebody's listening and says, I really want to do something, what should be my first step? This is too overwhelming. I can't get rid of salt and exercise and everything all at once. What's the best way to start?
So the best way to start is how I tell all my patients, because again, this is very overwhelming for patients. So I start off with the big picture is to, you know, if you eat a lot of fast food, which our, you know, unfortunately our population does, you know, maybe just look at the days you're having the fast food and say, you know what, I could probably bring my lunch that day. You know, start there, small steps first.
And take the salt shaker off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Start by taking the salt shaker off the table. It's really, once you start following a low-sodium diet, it's a bland diet. So instead of just going full force, making small changes so you can get used to the diet and then hopefully stick to the diet, like Trish said, you know, evaluate your diet. You know, maybe treat yourself to fast foods once a week and mm-hmm. take away the salt shaker.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.